You're listening to the Bloomberg Advantage with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
Dave Wilson joins us right now, our stock editor, with a look at what's going on in the trade of small cap stocks today. Dave, what do you see?
Well, I see that they're having trouble kind of keeping pace with their larger peers today. The Russell 2000 index up just 0.1% at the moment, while the S&P 500 is approaching a gain of 0.5%. Now, the Russell's biggest advance belongs to Raptor Pharmaceutical, the ticker on this one, RPTP. The developer of drugs for rare diseases accepted an $800 million takeover offer from Horizon Pharma. Raptor shares are up about 20.5%. Horizon Pharma higher as well, with a gain of more than 5%. Israel's Caesarstones, ticker is CSTE, that stock up 13% in U.S. trading. Tenet Investment Funds purchased a 3% stake in the countertop maker and has an option to triple its holding, according to a person familiar with the matter. The Russell's steepest drop belongs to the drug developer Geron, ticker GERN, the stock down almost 16%. After a company released an update on a proposed treatment for a blood disorder. Johnson & Johnson is pursuing two studies under a development deal. Rubicon Project, ticker RUBI, down 7.5%. The online advertising company was lowered to the equivalent of sell from hold at Morgan Stanley. The firm did the same downgrade of RetailMeNot, ticker SALE, and that provider of online coupons, down 7%.
All right, Dave Wilson, thank you so much. Our Bloomberg Stocks columnist, Dave Wilson, taking a look at the small cap universe for us right here on Bloomberg Radio. This is Bloomberg.
We could be so good together. Yes.
Do companies think getting together with another company, we're talking M&A, makes sense? Well, you certainly saw some of that on this Monday. Let's talk about the M&A deal flow. White & Case's global head of M&A, John Reese, is back with us, based in New York, in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Nice to have you back here with Corey and me.
Thank you, Carol.
How busy are you when it comes to deal flow?
July and August saw a real slowdown. You could characterize it as the summer doldrums. Seems to be a little bit more of the summer doldrums than in past years. That being said, as you know, the first half of 2016, while up and down, overall was a very, very busy first half following a very busy 2015 and 14. So we expect the rest of the year to be quite busy.
You expect that because you know about deals that are in pipeline? I mean, we had Carter Mack from JMP Securities on with us talking about IPOs last week, and because of the rules of the game with the IPOs, now investment banks get to know that there are deals in the works. I mean, is the activity at your firm, the activity of other firms in the business, sort of suggesting that, yeah, people might have been taking some time off this summer, but there are big deals yet to happen, or a volume of deals?
I think the activity right now, Corey, suggests that people are thinking about it hard and will look into the rest of the year to do some transaction. I would not say that there's a specific pipeline that would indicate that there absolutely will be deals. But
so exploratory, a lot of exploratory going on, it sounds like.
Correct, and a lot of consideration and internal consideration and things like that. But remember, deals right now, when people get it in their mind to do a deal, frequently happen quite quickly. Not always, not always. Some of the sellers in this market are more and more considered and exploring options more and more. But it's a seller's market. It continues to be a seller's market. And a properly advised seller decides to sell an asset, and they move it down the path to sale quite quickly.
John, you've seen, I'm assuming, a fair amount of market cycles when it comes to M&A, good times, bad times, overheated, and then not so much. What does kind of the cycle tell you about kind of the psyche at corporations right now among the C-suite folks and what it tells you about the global economy?
I think every year M&A seems to become more important to corporations. Remember, there are really two types of buyers. They're the corporate buyers and the private equity buyers. As you know, the private equity buyers, what they do for a living is buy and sell companies. So they're always going to be interested. But the globalization of the world, the differential between how one country is doing compared to another country, the size imperatives suggest that M&A is continued to be extremely important. And I think that as long as you have a reasonably high stock market that gives people the confidence to continue, you're going to see a lot of M&A.
What's driving that? Is it, you know, when we look at big companies, we see a lot of cash in the balance sheet. But that doesn't actually account for the majority of M&A.
Correct. What's accounting? The cash on the balance sheet allows them, of course, when they decide to do acquisitions, to effect the acquisition. As you know, acquisitions can be done through cash on the balance sheet, through borrowings, and through equity. All of those combinations allow them to do the M&A, and the M&A is being done by strategic imperatives, whether it's going into another market, whether it's going into another product, whether it's just requirements to get bigger to compete. All of those things are driving M&A.
I wonder if it's also, sorry, Carol, for a search for yield. I mean, is it that in this environment when just making more money has proven so hard across every industry that companies are looking at new geographies or they're looking at new deals that because they can't grow their businesses, they're adding on to their businesses?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm curious about global and cross-border. What you're seeing, are you seeing any kind of pickup or interesting trends when it comes to whether it's European buyers, more particularly, I think, Asian buyers who have the ability to do some buying?
I think one of the most important stories in 2016 and going forward is the acceptance in the M&A market on a global basis and the success on a global basis of Asian and particularly Chinese buyers. It's a long story to really go through all that, but to break it down, number one, the regulatory environment in the United States, which is really something described as CFIUS, which is the U.S. government agency that signs off on deals for national security implications. People are getting comfortable that CFIUS is not a political committee, and many, many deals get approved. So number one, 5 years ago, we'd go and talk to Chinese corporations, and their first question would be CFIUS, and they'd be terrified of CFIUS. And the other side of the coin would be the sellers would also be worried about it.
Right. I've done a bunch of panels like with M&A groups, and that go back a few years, and that was constantly a topic that we talked about because some pretty high-profile deals got stopped because of national security concerns. John, we got to run, but loved having you back with us.
Thank you very much, Carol. Thank you, Corey.
John Reese, he's global head of M&A at White & Case, joining us in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Coming up, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into the Bloomberg Terminal. That's coming up in just a moment. This is Bloomberg.